Death Valley Heaven. The trip out of Los Angeles to Death Valley, California, and what I regard as heaven on earth. We're going to talk about it in podcast 999, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, out here in the wilderness, I'm a long way from Minneapolis and 36 and Lindale Avenue South, which is the home of the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36 and Lindale Avenue in the Linnick neighborhood in Minneapolis. I mentioned their Instagram feed because they always have great stuff on there, but we're getting into food truck and sort of festival season, and with things starting to relax, I'm just going to say that in the wake of COVID, you might want to keep checking back and forth to 36 and Lynn, 36lynn.com to find out what they're up to. So their deal is this: they are independently owned and operated, which means they get a better deal on fuel and they can pass the savings on to customers. But they have this awesome store at 36 and Lynn, which has a great selection of locally sourced products in the store. I know the owners, and I know that they're super interested in making sure that they have this great selection of stuff. They have great coffee. They have any kind of locally sourced stuff you're interested in. Remember, 36 and Lynn, next time you're swinging through Minneapolis and you need some gas or a cup of coffee, for more info and great 36 Lynn events like I talked about, check them out online at 36lynn.com. That's 36LYN. Or you can just click on their banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. That'll take you to their site, and then there's jumps to all that other stuff. Let's talk about dedication, something I admire, people who are dedicated and passionate about what they do. So I'm going to talk about Stephanie Fleming, who runs InspireAndFlourish.org, which is an organization that helps animals who love us the most by rescuing them. Stephanie just got back from Mexico, where she rescued a bunch of dogs. She just donated something like $10,000 to a group that needed all sorts of things, beds, food, and so forth, to help animals in need. And the thing about it is, these days, there's so many of these dogs and cats, and they are so happy to have a home when they're finally rescued. They make great pets. But I can't believe people just leave these dogs and cats. They throw them out and that's it. They really, it's a terrible thing to do to these animals. And agencies that do this work would really appreciate the help that people who care about animals can give. Send your tax-deductible donation to Inspire and Flourish by visiting inspireandflourish.org or click on their banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcasts.com. Podcast 999. We just have this podcast, and the next podcast after that will be podcast 1000. And so I just want to say that I appreciate all the donations and, you know, all the support over the years for these podcasts. And I'll talk about that and all of that in podcast 1000. I don't know what the venue is going to be. I don't know where I'm going to be. I would say stay tuned for a very special podcast 1000, but chances are it's just going to be another workaday podcast, which is fine, as far as I'm concerned. I have done the California coastal trip 3 or 4 times, both ways, and it is spectacular and in various stages of disrepair, the PCH right now, and I've done this trip along the coasts in various states of disrepair for Mobile Podcast Command as well. So while I was in LA, we all were talking about road trips and where we might go, and I decided at that point I was going to detour from the coastal run for the most part and come to Death Valley, which is a national park bigger than the state of Connecticut. Just let that sink in. That's the scope of the West and the Pacific Coast states in particular. And Death Valley is incredible. I came through here many, many years ago. I don't even know what I was driving at the time. I think it was my Trans Am. And, you know, at that time, I was hell-bent for leather to get to the next locations. I really didn't. I remember it was winter. And I did get the scope of the park. I went to the visitor center. I don't even know if it was open, and I don't have any other impressions of it until I got here yesterday. So The thing about all these places out west, this is in the Mojave Desert. I did camp in the Mojave Desert Preservation Area, which is a long way from here. I think it's way to the south of here. Yeah, it's to the south of here. And then at the foothills of the San Diego Mountains, detailed all of that in previous podcasts. But what amazes me about California in general and Arizona and Texas and New Mexico and even Oregon and Washington, which are yet to come in this little spate of the tour, is just the scope and size of these states. And in particular, this region, which I love so much, the deserts. They are vast. They are hot. They can be challenging to vehicles. I didn't think in this day and age I would actually see somebody pulled over on the side of the road putting coolant in their engine, but they were. And there were a couple times when I was a little concerned about this truck and glad that I had had the main radiator hose at the bottom of the motor replaced before I left Fullerton, because I don't know that that was a piece of original equipment on a 21-year-old vehicle that is from Wisconsin and spent most of its life in Minnesota and Wisconsin. So lots of rust on components. And so I wasn't going to come out here without having that squared away and a coolant change and everything else. And still was very concerned that I was going to end up having a, you know, seizure or having the engine overheat, which it didn't. And I that's one of the things that's challenging about it. And the other thing is, this year, Death Valley is pretty much deserted. If you want to come to Death Valley and get a campsite without having to worry or go to the next campsite or do that whole thing when you come into a national park where they have first served campsites, you come here in the summer, except no one wants to come here in the summer because it is very hot. So I got a thermometer here in the truck, and there's a lot of wind. So I'm recording in the truck. You can hear the wind in the background, which to me is just a heavenly sound. Especially since there's no other sounds. It's just the wind. It's very interesting. And I can hear, it doesn't come through on the mics. So I'm not sure what I think about what it is, but I can hear a distinct, very low frequency buzz. And I wonder if that's a generator running someplace or power lines running someplace that you would never hear normally, or just the sound of these rocks and these mountains and the energy emanating from all this. And I can feel that. And I know it sounds weird, but I can. I'm pretty sure I can. I know people think I'm crazy, but the other thing is, I think it's possible, and I didn't check, so I don't know, and I have no internet at this point, so I can't check, that much of this park was probably closed for COVID throughout 2020. So when you go to the water spigots at the campsite I'm at, which is a first-come, first-served campsite, you turn on the spigot and there's no water. So there's just one other guy here. Most of today, there was nobody else here. Last night, there were three of us here in this entire campsite. So, and this is a Wild Rose campsite. And what I assume are the camp host cabins down the way, boarded up. So I don't think this park has been open. I mean, I think you could have driven through it, but I don't think it's been open for staying at. And of course, in the summer, they kind of shut down because nobody wants to come here because it's too hot. You can't get it hot enough for me. This is a perfect place for a guy from the upper Midwest who's had way too many winters in his life. I love it. And now here's what I'm going to talk about. I want to make some judgments about, just some observations about this place and what it's actually like. And you got to write these down every now and then. As I said, the heat doesn't bother me, and it's actually quite pleasant. So in the truck, it's 80 degrees in the shade. So I've got the doors open. Actually, it's 85. If you step out into the sun, it's close to 100 if it's not 100. The average temperature this time of the year is somewhere in the 90s. If you go down about 10 or 11 miles from here to the camps on the edge of the basin, the temperatures probably go up 20 degrees. And as I said, I think the greatest thing about it is utterly quiet, save for the distant rumbling of the jets working out on the range to the west of here. And after the hustle and bustle of family in Fullerton and seeing friends, so three nieces, my brother-in-law and his my sister-in-law's wife, there's a lot of activity. Lots of, the thing is I've said a couple times, on the road, I get up really early, and by 10 o'clock, I'm exhausted. So it was a bit much. It was great. And I'm going to talk about this in the second half of this podcast. I think it's great for nomads to intersperse the relative solitude, and that's really the subject of this podcast, of being out here, especially if you travel alone, with periods when I guess you can get a sense of normalcy. And I'm going to talk about that sort of yin and yang a little bit in the second half of this podcast. But definitely after the hustle and bustle of life with three girls, soccer and choir and gymnastics and all the stuff that they do, the quietness and the solitude of this place, Death Valley, at this time, which is sort of the off time for Death Valley, there's nowhere to go. There's really even nothing to do. I would hike, but it's, some people say you're not supposed to. I really don't feel like hiking. I'm just resting a couple of days, and then I'm going to move on. And there's nothing to do really but just experience this utter quietness. And this is what makes this place special for me. There are some wild donkeys running around, and that's kind of a little, they just go off on their hee-hawing for no reason at all. And they wander around here. And what's interesting is last night, one wandered up this little hill to get to this campsite and was very close. And I could hear, I could smell him. And then he went into his hee-hawing. And I wished I had it on tape because it scared the hell out of me because I wasn't expecting that. I knew there was something out there, but I wasn't sure what. And that's kind of funny. So other than that, there are birds here, there are creatures here, but you don't hear them very much. Sometimes you hear some crickets, sometimes you hear some buzzing, sometimes you might hear the sound of feet on the gravel at night, which is probably a coyote or some kind of cat or something. But basically, or a bird, you know, it's completely silent, which is unique. Almost every other place I've been, there's birds and there's sounds and there's things going on. It is like the moon or Mars here. And I can't get enough of this. It's just the greatest. So it is a perfect place with the sound of the lonely wind and the heat and the quiet to talk about solitude in the second half of this podcast. One of the long-term sponsors and businesses that I'm going to be thanking profusely in Podcast 1000 is, of course, Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul. These are the guys who really make sure that your systems are operating. And these days, a lot of these systems are complex or they're so old they should be replaced. So first of all, when you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems in the summer, you want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back five generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. They can help you improve the efficiency of all of your systems, because if you have not had them replaced, if you just bought a house and it's got old stuff, you're looking at basically 100-year-old technology. Hard to believe, but true. So the new technology that's available can save you money. It's more efficient, and there's all kinds of ways to get it and make it affordable. So call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul or check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. I have always been a social animal, I would guess. And I'm not sure about that now. I certainly like my friends. I love the action of an urban environment, the city. I lived in the city, But these days, I've really started to enjoy being alone. And rather than say that I'm alone, because I'm not alone in life, But out here, I think a better term for it is solitude. The silence here is meditative. Just listen. And the thing is, you don't have to meditate. The solitude, the quiet, the feel of this place does the meditation for you. If you regard meditation in the form that you're supposed to sit silently with your eyes closed and you can't stop your brain from thinking, so what you do is you allow your thoughts to simply pass through without really holding on to them or noting them, just let it happen. That's meditation. Well, you do that here automatically. You just meditate. So aside from the solitude, meaning the single experience, I don't have anybody with me. There's really nobody here. Talking to people can be painful because you're used to just kind of being quiet. And when people show up, you walk to the bathroom or something, there's a vault toilets here. You might have an interaction, and I'm perfectly happy to have an interaction, but you kind of, it's kind of painful because I just am used to not really talking. So it's interesting. And whenever I do encounter people and they see the truck and they want to know what I do, and I tell them, and they'll invariably say a bunch of different things, one of which can often be, and it's an unusual question, but it is great when people ask it because it makes me think. They'll say, and I'm hearing this more and more, what lessons have you learned as a nomad? What have you learned? And I'm not sure whether they mean what kind of RV should I buy, or, you know, literally the spiritual question of what have I learned? And I would say, it took me a long time in life to learn patience. I was a very impatient young man and kid. So that was a big thing. That happened years ago. I finally figured out how to have patience, and I'm not a very patient person. This one is really solitude. It's the value of being in solitude. And it is true, as I said earlier, after a while, when you visit friends in the city, it's like there's almost too much going on. Much of it, in my view, is unnecessary. Now, I'm not talking about taking care of your kids. I'm not talking about doing what you have to do for your kids or any of the stuff that you have to do. I'm talking about as a talker. I would say it's come to my attention recently. And I don't mean that someone brought it to my attention. It means that this activity of travel and solitude and individual being quote-unquote alone in campgrounds and in the desert and in the forests and on the road, it has come to my attention that much of what is said in modern life is gossip, idle chatter, bitching about things or other people, which qualifies as gossip, or nonsense about TV shows, politics, stuff we see on social media, and so forth. And even when I have access to my phone or the internet, but, you know, we're talking about the phone, there is a tendency to get caught up in this flow of information online, whether it's social media. And the excuse is always, well, I have to check my feeds because this is how I promote my podcast, and I have to do this, and I need to stay abreast of what's going on. Most of it is just plain nonsense. It has no bearing on the present, future, or past. Most news stories will be forgotten within a month or two. Most of the things that happen will never even make it into the history books. Yeah, there are those things that happen that are substantial. There are those things that happen in politics that are important and that we need to pay attention to. But this habit we have of parsing and talking about and bitching about and so forth is pretty much useless. And the end result is, most of the time, and I include myself in this as well, we do not seize the opportunity to actually share real things with people we care about. How we feel about them, how important they are to us, all of that stuff. And it's easy to fall back on habit of having that convivial conversation that includes politics and bitching and stuff like that. Most of the time, people are flapping their jaws, myself included. And when you're in a group of people, most of the time, that stuff is not even memorable. I think what's memorable is you're having a good time, having a cup of coffee or whatever, talking to your relatives or friends. And that's a good experience. But in general, when people talk in day-to-day life, especially if you're in a static environment, most of it's nonsense. Hey, great weather we're having. Hey, what did the neighbor do last week? Why were the cops down here last week? Or any of these other things that don't matter. When you're in solitude, there's no one to BS but yourself. So you could lie to yourself, but why lie to yourself, right? Because you know you're lying anyway. So voicing thoughts become unnecessary. And what I've found is I can't explain to you the magnitude of the impression that a place like Death Valley leaves on a person. The expanse, the views, the feel, the smell of the air, the fact that it's hot during the day, there's no humidity, you don't even know you're hot, and then at night it cools off and it's just incredible. I can't find language other than the sparing language that I would use as a narrator, which I'm doing, of how incredible the desert is and how incredible some of these national parks are, and in particular, these parks out in the desert in places like California and Arizona and New Mexico. And finally, you figure out that voicing these thoughts, unless you're doing a podcast, is basically unnecessary as well. So what is left is now, and the experience of now, and that's why it's a meditation. Now, listeners to this podcast know that I love truck stops and Walmart parking lots, but these days I find myself looking for the BLM campsite or the park someplace. I don't even like state parks because there's too many people in them. And now I understand why so many nomads seek the wilderness. Now, I know a lot of people that are nomads on Instagram, YouTube, aren't necessarily real nomads in the sense that we now have a hierarchy. Oh, you're a real nomad versus an Instagram guy that goes out a couple of weeks at a time and takes a bunch of pictures and then feeds those out, you know. And those people, they deserve credit for doing what they're doing. But I understand now why people who do this really want to come to places like this. I didn't understand that before. You can be here and you could stay here in the wilderness without the buildings and the development and all that stuff and never miss it. I was just thinking before I started this podcast, and I was thinking about all this stuff about the end of the world. And I love that stuff. You know, I watch it on YouTube when I can. I follow it. I'm really deep into the theology of Revelation and the history of that book and how important that is to our culture today and all these different ideas that the world is ending. And you come out here, and I was thinking to myself before I started this podcast, out in the searing heat, I'm in my bare feet, and you can't stand on the stones very long because it's 112 or 100 degrees out there, and the sun is beating down, and it's fantastic and utterly quiet. And aside from the Air Force and the Navy base not too far from here, and you occasionally hear a fighter, if the world ended and everybody disappeared, we wouldn't really notice it out here. I think there's a million things that could happen if you were out here and you wouldn't even know if you didn't pay attention or have internet access or read a newspaper once in a while. And the thought comes, well, would it matter? And I don't think it would, because I don't think it would matter to these rocks and these hills and the people who have lived here. And I will tell you that Death Valley has a vast history as well, going back to the 1850s. And I can't imagine coming out here and trying to get through here with a team of oxen and a Conestoga wagon, walking with a Kentucky long rifle or whatever they had at the time, and trying to figure out where the water was going to come from. That's the kind of intense wilderness this is. But it's also one of the reasons I prefer the Southwest. This is my version of heaven out here. Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and now California, especially the deserts. Because of the solitude and the quiet, and out here, just the plain scope of it. And especially the simplicity of the desert. It fills your senses and actually tamps down the self-talk, because much of this cannot be explained. It simply does not lend itself to words. And people say to me, why don't you get a dog? That's one of the things they say. What are you? Does anyone travel with you? And I always laugh and say, well, there isn't a woman on earth that would go around in this thing. You know, they wouldn't put up with it, cooking meals over the camp stove or the fire or anything else that you have to do out here. When they find out I'm not traveling with anyone, and they go, well, why don't you get a dog? What about a dog or a cat? Don't you want someone with you? I'm not sure I do, because I think the juice is the solitude. I know I'm learning stuff. I know I'm learning lessons that are pretty significant. And it's getting to the point now where I'm not even sure where I've been. And I don't care. I don't have to know where I've been. It's all sort of this nice sort of blanket in my mind about the places I've been and the things I've seen. And sometimes I can't remember where I saw that thing. I'll be talking to somebody. Oh, here's another thing that happens with increased solitude. People respond so quickly to what people say. Before you can even get the words out of your mouth, they're responding. And a lot of times, I just stop talking, which is so unusual for me, you know? I used to say, let me finish! I don't even care. It reminds me of one of the people in my life that has always been a huge influence, my father-in-law, who always used to say, you know, Bob, I don't give people advice anymore. And I said, why? And he said, because they don't listen anyway. So why bother? And this was a guy who could give a lot of advice. But he learned over time, running a company and having 6 kids and everything else, that people just don't listen anyway. And that's one of the things that I find fascinating is half the time, I just don't even bother, because it's everybody's so keyed up. When you get into a city environment or an environment, even, you know, like the city of California is nothing but the city of California, you know, the California, Los Angeles experience is nothing but a bunch of suburbs. And so everybody lives in the suburbs, and that's great. I'm not putting it down. It feels like it, you know, especially Fullerton feels like LA must have felt in the 1940s and 50s. But the juice is solitude. And while there are times when I wish someone could be with me, because there are people in my life that are important that I would like to share this stuff, but that would be a different experience. The other thing people say all the time is, well, you must meet some really interesting people. I love that one. You must meet some interesting people. And the truth of the matter is, nobody more interesting than the most average, ordinary person you'd ever want to know. You know, everybody has a story. Everybody has a unique thing that has happened to them in their life. Some people are extraordinary, but it's usually the people that you would never think of. I met 2, 3, 4 people in New Mexico. This guy, Sheldon, that had a $4,000 trailer and liked to come out there because his wife likes to be on her cell phone all the time. She didn't want to come there because there was no cell service, and he comes there every weekend. Think about that. But he was just an ordinary guy. People are extraordinary, and I find myself also meeting myself on the road. Well, as far as I know, the air show at Oshkosh is on this year, which is going to be great because a lot of people go to this thing. And if you're a pilot, you know how important alpha angle of attack indicators are. So I want to get a shout out for Alpha Systems, long-term sponsor of the Bob Davis podcast, been to the air show many times with them. If you're interested in saving a pilot or interested because you're a pilot, click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcasts.com. Well, I don't hate very many people anymore. due to the solitude, due to the meditation, due to a lot of yoga and just, I suppose I hate. But I do hate my printer, and I think it's okay to hate your printer. If you want to place the hate where it belongs, then hate your printer, because print cartridges are so expensive, and Cartridge World in Maple Grove will give you a thumbs up if you go in and tell them you hate your printer. Their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. They can get you 30% off of the cost of those cartridges at big box stores, free delivery on qualifying orders. Businesses can qualify for free printers. Also, it doesn't matter where you are in the country. If you're listening to me on the road in Columbus, Ohio, and you know you need a print cartridge, you can get great deals. And if you have a virtual mailbox like me, 763-420-6632. Get yourself out of the hate box. 763-420-6632, or click on the Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com that says, and really asks the eternal philosophical question, why pay more to print? Cartridge World. All right, I could go into detail about where you can find the podcasts and all that stuff, but if you're listening, you found it. And I could talk about donations and blah, 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 blah. But I'll do that in Podcast 1000, which is coming up next after this one. So it's pretty hard to believe. And I have a lot of feelings and mixed emotions about it. I'm pretty excited about the 1000th podcast. And we'll do that next. Meanwhile, thanks for listening to Podcast 999, the Bob Davis Podcast, live from heaven, better known as Death Valley.